Welcome to the Business and Enterprise Systems Mission Success Podcast, where we have conversations about the latest happenings and updates at BES. Thank you for joining us today. We have another panel, a great team joining us today, the CMOS team, the Cargo Movement Operations System. And we look forward to hearing more about this team because what they are doing has a direct impact on the mission of the Air Force and beyond every day. So let's get started introducing the team. We'll start with you, Ms. McKinney. Just tell us who you are and what role you play on the team.
Hi, my name is Valerie McKinney. I am the CDM for the CMOS team and excited to be here.
Glad you're here today.
Good morning. Yeah, Jason Bond, CMOS Functional. Been doing this for 23 years. Right. So looking forward to discussion.
Thank you for being here. As a functional, what function do you actually carry out with the team?
Basically, my job is to test, work with a developer, and ensure we put a system that is going to support the warfighter in the field.
Okay.
Yes, good morning. Tech Sergeant Stephen Whitmore here. I am currently the product owner of CMOS. My day-to-day and my impact on the program is the product vision, communicating with stakeholders, ensuring we're determining customer needs and meeting those adequately, prioritizing backlog items, and steering the ship and making sure we're turning out quality software.
Yep, Dan McCabe. I am the technical lead over CPM systems, so that's CMOS Marks and OLVMs. I've been doing this stuff for about 25 years, and I've been working off and on with CMOS for the majority of that.
Yeah, good morning. Dennis Haugen. I'm an ANS contractor. I do program support. So really, I'm there to do what I can to make life easier for Ms. McKinney and Ms. Hollinger. And I would describe it as doing some of the boring stuff in the background, compliance paperwork, and try to keep that off of everybody else's back so they can get the good stuff done.
And Ms. Hollinger joining us today by phone.
Hi, I'm Bernadette Hollinger. I'm the product line manager for CMOS, which is one of three programs under my purview, and I'm here to support my team today.
We're glad you're here. Thank you guys, all of you, for joining us. So tell us, somebody step up and tell us, what is CMOS? I mean, I gave that long name there, Cargo Movement Operations System, but tell us, what are the nuts and bolts? How does that impact the Air Force?
All right, hey, this is Sergeant Whitmore. I'll dive in here. CMOS is a combat support system, and it's designed to manage and streamline the logistics of cargo and passenger movements across the globe for all military operations. We use it to ensure efficiency and effectiveness of contingency and sustainment efforts in any environment. Some of those are by load planning, right? We're making sure we're optimizing cargo and passenger space on airframes. We're partnering with our next generation delivery services such as FedEx, UPS, DHL, generating those documents, utilizing those services to ensure we use what we call prudent traffic management, making sure we're meeting time suspenses. CMOS helps us greatly with in-transit visibility, allowing us to real-time track assets all across the globe, ensure they're meeting security requirements and taking the channels that we've designated as the Department of Defense to allow warfighters to receive it wherever and whenever. It's built in with the business rules and the items we placed in there to ensure we meet regulatory compliances, such as the federal aviation. We make sure anything we're putting on to a commercial airframe that is hazardous meets those requirements, and it helps automate that for users across the globe. Lastly, operational readiness. Yeah. If you don't have what you need, which you can't get it without the cargo movements operating system, you're not going to be ready to operate.
Gotcha. So you guys have given us a little bit in your introduction, and maybe somebody wants to expand a little bit more, but your day-to-day work, what is that? But also for the end user on the other end, what is their day-to-day use like for CMOS?
I can go ahead and jump in on that one. Our end users are actually the users in the field. They are utilizing CMOS to move the cargo from DoD locations around the world. They use the system to import the data on the ship, which then gets sent to either our one of our trading partners, whether that be GFM for surface movements, or you go out to and actually coordinate with the commercial, the next generation delivery services, FedEx, DHL, UPS, these carriers, where we can actually can print out those carrier labels and actually get the information on the shipment to where when FedEx shows up at the door, all they got to do is scan their label, it pops into their system, and it goes that way. And at that point, the users can track that stuff at any point in time within the system. As what we actually do daily, day-to-day, is we actually work on the next generation of CMOS. We are working to make sure that it is improved. We take requirements from all the different services that have stakeholders in the actual system itself. We work with the developers like Mr. McCabe on how to actually get it to working right. We develop the system. We are changing it. We're updating it to what the users are looking for in the field to make the system better. And that takes us basically going in there, working, going and saying, well, nope, this doesn't work right. Now we're going to fix it. We also take those requirements and those bugs or defects that the users find in the field within the system and correct them to where in the next version, it will not misbehave per se and actually do what is needed for the user.
So CMOS, clearly used by the Air Force, also by the Army, the Marines, and other government entities. How are these entities using CMOS in similar ways or even different ways, because this is such a robust application?
I was actually a member of the team, the training team that went out and trained the other services within their what we actually do within CMOS. Our main users are the Air Force, Army, and the Marine Corps. The Navy and Coast Guard have expressed interests. However, at this current time, it is just the Air Force, Army, and Marine Corps. We do actually have one other site. It's an NSA site that actually uses CMOS as well. These sites each have their own individual procedures, per se. CMOS is developed to be able to meet all of their requirements, all the needs that they use the same thing. Because we are all doing the same surface type movements, we're all doing the same, getting it out and making it basically go across that. What CMOS does is allows each one of these services to ensure that they're in compliance with all of the actual defense transportation regulations, all of actual the MF interprets a big fancy word for military freight traffic rules. And it lays out each and every rule of what needs to be done to, in order to accomplish a surface movement, an air movement. Our CMOS allows them to make sure that they're in compliance and they will comply with all rules as well as getting it out on time delivery to that warfighter in support of that warfighter. So that's how, when they use it, they're doing the same. Are their procedures the same? No. Will they follow the same set of steps? Yes. Other than that, it is a widely used system across those services, giving them the capability to properly do the job and ensure they're in compliance.
Yeah. So there's a technical element to it. There's a practical element to it, but you also have the compliance elements to it as well. So just to make sure bases are covered.
Yeah, we make sure that everyone's, make sure everything is going by the rules for the rules.
Gotcha. So we are recording this in August of 2024. And there is an exciting update coming out next month, designed to streamline a lot of the features, enhance the user experience. So what are some of the changes that are happening in this update? Let's look at security, or how is the user experience improved? How do plugins look different? What are some of the things coming with the updates coming next month?
So as most of the CMOS users are aware, the legacy application has been operational since around 1991. And unfortunately, it's more than showing its age, right? So the upcoming tech refresh release of CMOS, which we hope to field sometime in September, will provide users with a more modern look and feel. New users especially will feel a little bit more comfortable, we believe, with the system as the flow of the application and the business processes have a more modern feel to them, and they would feel a little bit more comfortable with those based off of, you know, how they use the internet now with different applications. It'll fit in a little bit more how they currently use it. So some of the big things, along with the new look and feel, the system has been streamlined to enhance the user experience in several different ways. There are a few pretty obvious examples that the users will see almost immediately. One of the biggest ones right off the bat that they'll notice is the trimming of the login time that the current legacy system has. Within the currently legacy system, it takes several minutes to actually fully log into the application. And we've been able to trim that down to roughly 10 seconds, sometimes more, but never more than 15. And that includes everything through the CAC authentication piece, logging you into your appropriate role, so forth. We've also consolidated a lot of redundant screens within the system. The legacy system has about 313 forms that the user can interact with to perform their job. A bunch of these forms and processes are redundant. So there's several different ways to do the same task, right? So we've consolidated this down to now we have roughly about 136 very user-friendly screens that will streamline that process for them. We also allow multiple CMOS windows to be open at once, which is something you couldn't really do with legacy. So basically what that means is that the user can simply have multiple tabs open within a single browser, and they can just bounce back and forth between the tabs, but still accomplish the same task. You know, so they wouldn't have to close the browser or go back and view something else. They can just have multitasking capability within the application. So something else that is a big one, it was a main driving feature actually for this TR, is that the legacy application utilizes Internet Explorer-based Java plugins in the background, okay? So these Java plugins had to be installed along with Java on all of the user workstations. The tech refreshed application has broken that dependency of the Java plugins. This has allowed us to implement a more browser agnostic approach to the refreshed application. Basically, what that means is that the users no longer are locked into using Edge in IE compatibility mode or IE itself, which we know IE has been discontinued on Air Force machines anyways. So the app has been thoroughly vetted in current versions of Chrome, Firefox, and Edge. It has also had limited but very successful testing in several other browsers like Safari, Opera, and Vivaldi. You know, browsers that military will never let you have on your machines, but we needed to make sure they worked anyways. Yeah. You know, so to carry on with that, the legacy application also was very unfortunately plagued with an overabundance of security vulnerabilities. With the tech stack being used within the legacy architecture, removing or mitigating some of these security vulnerabilities was extremely challenging. In some cases, it was nearly impossible. However, the tech refresh and the use of a new tech stack has allowed us to finally address many of those vulnerabilities. So we were able to eliminate nearly 30,000 security vulnerabilities between the legacy system and the new system. That includes 3,600 high vulnerabilities that we've been able to eliminate, somewhere around 14,000 medium vulnerabilities. So we've trimmed it down to like there's roughly 5,000 vulnerabilities left in CMOS. But every release, we trim it down a little bit further. I think when this thing fields, you will have a total of 38 high vulnerabilities, which that's a huge drop coming down from 3,600. So we're excited about that. And it also puts us in a very strong position. The application is in a very strong position to continue to improve the security footprint of CMOS going forward. So another feature that is going to come in real handy for the modernization, for the tech refresh, is we've added something called, we've just called it CMOS News. So in the current legacy version, there's no way for the program office to send messages out to the field users other than email. Right. Well, we've put a capability within the application to where when the user logs in, they'll have a little notice over there that there's a new message. So he can just click on the news and the PMO can actively in real time push messages out to the users so they can get a good idea of what's going on. We push a new update, they've got a complete list of everything that was in that update right there. So that's pretty much That's the bulk of it, the big issues. We've taken care of with that.
That was a mouthful.
It's not much. just a little bit, you know.
So I'm fascinated that you went from over 300 forms, I believe is the way you worded that, down to 136. How did that design process take place, getting feedback from end users to realize, hey, we've got a lot of redundancy here. This is how we need to trim the fat and what we need to trim too. How did that process
take place? A few years prior to us starting this work, the functionals, such as Jason Bond here and the rest of the crew of functionals, they sat down with a requirements manager and they tried to hash out a 2B process for the future of CMOS. And during that, they identified quite a few redundant processes that we could probably consolidate or eliminate completely. And when they completed that, we used that information when we started building up this new front end of the application. And with their assistance, they were able to guide us through this, making sure that it's all one process to do one job instead of multiples. So
yeah,
it was a team effort. It worked well.
That's fantastic. How long would you say this particular version, this refresh, how long has this been in development?
Well, it was in development for almost 3 years.
Yeah, there's a lot of smiles and laughter taking place when I say that. So.
Yeah, it was originally supposed to be a two-year endeavor just to refresh the front end. But we've had, due to a bunch of different external things, we've had to shift gears a few times and extend to some deadlines. And the actual development and testing took roughly a little bit over 3 years. And we've had some other hurdles since then. We haven't been able to field it because of there's so many drastic changes with security. Security had to go over it with a fine tooth comb.
Right.
To make sure that everything was good to go before we field it. So it's been a long road, but we're all excited to get it out there.
So when this pushes out next month, you guys are going to breathe a gigantic collective sigh of relief.
Oh, yeah, I'm going on vacation.
So you mentioned the security vulnerabilities. Did you say 30,000?
Yes. The production version of CMOS, the legacy production version, has over 30,000 security vulnerabilities.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. It's been rough.
Yeah.
So
right now, a lot of that's from automated code scanning and stuff, right, Dan?
Yeah.
A lot of that's found that way.
Our checkmarks tool, the BES checkmarks tool, which is a code scanning tool that security uses here, that's what that tool's been reporting.
Yeah.
And it's not wrong.
So right.
It was not wrong.
But I think it's fascinating that you guys working with security to be able to address those vulnerabilities and just make it a safer application as well. So that's really good stuff there. So CMOS, as with many of our BES applications, there's so much interaction that has to take place. So what are some of the future developments and migration to cloud? What's coming as far as interacting with other applications and platforms and all of that?
Well, I can touch on some of that if you guys want. As far as the cloud migration goes, there is a cloud migration coming. We're still in the early phases doing the app analysis of that cloud migration. So we don't really have a deadline or a schedule for it. We expect to start it sometime in 2025, but we're expecting that to go pretty smooth. But it's also going to give us an opportunity to tighten up some things on the database layer side that we're looking forward to. So, and I'll let Jason or Whit take it from there on other things coming.
I can talk to actually interaction with other applications. CMOS interacts or basically has 31 current interfaces with other systems within the Air Force, Army, and the Marine Corps. The system will allow us to basically take that information from these different systems. And the biggest ones I'll say, for the Air Force, is ILSS. That's the supply interface. Anything that's being shipped out, supply directly sends that information straight to CMOS. So when the cargo shows up, all the CMOS user has to do is basically incheck that piece of equipment because it's already in the system. Logmod for deployment of cargo, DCAPES for deployment of personnel within the Air Force. The Army uses it for mostly the biggest one we have for the Army at this moment is TCEMS-2. TCEMS-2 is their deployment system. The Army does a majority of all their deployments via rail. And TCEMS is actually the system that coordinates and takes those TCNs, gathers them, puts them underneath the plan, and then sends that information to CMOS. Now, some of these deployments, they could be close to 500 to 600 TCNs or pieces of equipment at that point. Mm-hmm. And this, by allowing CMOS to actually interface directly with TCAMS, that information is sent electronically. The user is not hand jamming 600 TCNs into the system to get them to where they need to go. And yes, so basically those are the big ones. But like I said, there's 31s because we interface with the payment system. We interface with the GTN or IGC, which is the global tracking that every service uses, as well as higher headquarters uses to track cargo throughout the world. Right. And CMOS is going to say, as soon as it ships out of CMOS, it's going to send the message to you left on this tracking number. It's going to be cost this much, and it's going to get there roughly this time.
Right.
That's basically our interfaces. That's all I have to say about them. Whitney, anything else to add, or we good?
I'm good. You nailed it.
Well, you know,
I've got a little bit I could
go ahead.
Add on interfaces. One of them, it's not really a big deal to our users, but it was a big deal to management, is a Blade interface. Blade is a data repository. They wanted to collect information from many systems so people would have a one-stop shopping for reports and inquiries and stuff. So that's been set up. It's a data pull. They do it a couple times a day. And a little bit of irony that, you know, is supposed to protect us from people running to us and asking questions. Well, it got people's attention. We had more database questions in 2 months than we had in 2 years, but that's all settled down now. And I think people are knowing where they can go and get data without bothering us. Mm. But management was real focused on that.
This is the largest panel we've had on this podcast. You have an extremely robust application. So tell us about the team. How large is this team working on CMOS? Do you have any all-stars or heavy hitters you'd like to give a shout out to? You know, what? Tell us about the CMOS team overall.
Let me just start by saying that we have an incredible group of hardworking people on our team. And it starts with Ms. Bernadette Hollinger. She's our product line manager. But CMOS is just one of three systems that make up the cargo personnel movement product line, commonly known as CPM. And we have 62 outstanding individuals assigned to CPM. They include the military, civilians, contractors, all performing development work, engineering, designing, security, testing, help desk, configuration management, and our management tools. And many of these 62 personnel are shared resources among these three programs. We do have a dedicated help desk, a multi-level support system for users. The process includes addressing the issues by contacting the FAS, which is the Field Assistance Service, where routine problems are resolved. If needed, the FAS then hands it over to our level 2 CMOS help desk, which is staffed by world-class experts who can resolve complex situations. And if needed, the calls can be escalated to our level 3, which is our CMOS developers. So that's our team and incredible group of people working hard every day.
One interesting thing I think about the help desk too is, you know, they've got a lot of experience, but we also have to clarify they can help the users know how to do something, but not what to do. The users are expected to know the regulations, know what labels and stuff, how to classify the shipment. So the help desk cannot take responsibility for the shipment, but if they have, you know, they got lost in a procedure or they made a data entry error and need help clearing cleaning it up. The help desk is fantastic at that. And like Valerie said, if that doesn't resolve it, then we can reach out to our development team, who is can fix anything, I think.
Fantastic. I love the way you guys speak so well of each other. Shows a lot of team pride. You know, we talk about FedEx and UPS, DHL, the partnerships there. I think it was you, Sergeant Whitmore, that just really said this is an operational thing, that things don't happen unless the elements are delivered. What's the cargo? What's going out and what is being delivered through the use of CMOS?
I mean,
and where?
You name it. I mean, it's a plethora of things. The bottom line on it is you walk onto an installation or an operating site anywhere across the globe, I can walk you through it all. The road that got paved for you to drive onto that installation, that civil engineering organization does not get that equipment. They do not get the concrete. They do not get any of the support around it. They don't get the operator, the human body,
right,
that sits in that machine and operates it. The toilet paper in your bathrooms, the firearm in the hands of the defender at the gate, all the way down to the single rounds of ammunition that they hold to defend the gates that we work inside of. Ballpoint pens, bolts on a wheel, the vehicle itself, airframes. I mean, we've stuck Black Hawk helicopters into C-17s, right? You name it, we're going to move it anywhere you want us to. And we've done that through partners of the FedEx and UPS, but when we use organic resources such as military airlift, we do become our own global reach logistics in that aspect.
I know one of the things that we talked about previously before recording today is there are medical supplies. I know there's humanitarian supplies. Tell us about some of that. How is CMOS used to really deliver not just the day-to-day supplies for mission, but also to be able to help in times of need?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead. We can both probably tell stories here. I was just talking to Valerie about one of my favorite stories she wanted me to share. It's not mine personally, but it's been related. Several years ago, on our development team, they were fixing a bug that was related to shipping certain supplies. And, you know, how urgent is it? And there's one person in particular, no rush, it's just software. We can, you know, get it out later. And one of our team members said, "You have a son that's deployed, right?" "Yes." "He's in a combat zone?" "Yes." "If something bad happens, wouldn't you like him to have plasma and bandages and antiseptics?" "Yeah." "Well, that's what this particular bug was fixing, was to help ship that sort of stuff promptly." Mm-hmm. There's a sudden turnaround, and the urgency of getting this fix was realized. And you know, it's easy to sit here and develop software in an office. You talk about our team. Many of our team has been deployed. They've been users. They've been recipients of this. And it really does make a difference out in the field. It gets it there.
I mean, that's one great example. As I was preparing for this, I got kind of a favorite one too, Dennis. When we think of war fighting and how we impact war fighters, we think exactly what Dennis just said. Medical situations downrange inside of an austere location. But back in 2022, we had a formula shortage. I don't know if any of y'all recall that. Infant baby formula in the United States. And through the utilization of CMOS and our own organic airlift, we were able to transport 132 aircraft pallets housing 78,000 pounds of formula from Ramstein, Germany, into Indianapolis International Airport, right? Domestically for the citizens of the United States. That normally takes, you know, 2 weeks to maneuver all of that and get it going. But with the automated things we provide in this office and the clicks of a button and the strategy that we allow them to utilize and comply to, we did that in days. Got 78,000 pounds of formula to the United States of America for our citizens. It's not always war fighting. That's one of my favorite ones.
Right. Thank you for the stories. That's very important, because I think sometimes